over to the Old Testament to 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. I'd like to minister for a few minutes on the floating axe head. In the King James Bible, it says the axe did swim. Now, I've never seen a swimming axe, never seen a swimming rock. So this is an amazing story. It's one of the stories that I've preached about many times over the years and drawn truth from it, but I've got something fresh here this morning that the Lord had dealt with me about throughout this week. But I want to say up front here that, like Pastor Paul, I've never had so many pastors call or send a text or WhatsApp on how blessed they were with this conference and how encouraged they are. It's the most organized, most effective conference with this team. And I really mean it. It was a tremendous week. We're already seeing results and fruit from these that are out there. I got a call yesterday, and people are just really excited about what God's going to do. When you see what God's going to do, it makes the present circumstance seem like nothing. When you see what God's got, there's a total change in the heart. And it suddenly begins to turn from everything around you. And you begin to say, wow, God, this is wonderful. I'm looking forward to this. That's exactly what God does all through the scriptures. He gives a vision. He gives a dream. He gives a possibility. And from that, he begins to just move and open doors miraculously. So it was a great week. And now we're in the second week of the 2018. Amen. In this scripture, we're going to read about an axe head that was lost. And the axe represents the power of God working through us. It represents the can-do, the ability of God. It represents getting the job done. And so it is that in this passage, we're going to see where this young prophet or disciple gets an amazing revelation, and God shows him something that he wants to show me and he wants to show you today. Hallelujah. Verse number 1, 2 Kings 6. And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please, let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." Then one said, "Please consent to go with us, your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Now, this is not an accident here. It's on purpose called an iron axe head, because in that day and time, most of the tools were made out of bronze, and the iron axe head was very valuable. Watch what happens. And the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried. He cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place, so he cut off a stick and threw it in there. And he made the iron float, or the iron did swim. Therefore, he said, this is Elisha, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. I want to look at just a few things here that I believe will help us today and give us some wisdom and direction. The scripture here is talking about an axe head, and it's speaking of the cutting edge of God in our lives to accomplish what God has given us to do. Whether we're in the nursery, an usher, vans, songs, ministry, wherever, Bible studies, outreach, preaching, choir, he gives us a cutting edge. And this man had lost something very valuable. He had lost his cutting edge. He had lost the tool that was borrowed. God gives us tremendous abilities, but we need to know that these things can be disregarded and we can miss out. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and 10 says, "If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success." And so when he takes this stick, and he cuts it and throws it into the water, and the axe begins to swim. There is a supernatural exchange that happens. This young prophet humbled himself, and he's admitting his hopeless condition. This is where God steps in. With humility, he says, "Alas, Master, it was borrowed." He was remorseful. It was valuable. Something had gone from him that he was concerned, and the scripture says he was repentant. This wooden stick that was thrown in, I like to believe it's representative, or it is a type. Now, there's a such thing as typology or a type in the Old Testament, and it speaks to the future in the New Testament, and it could be a type of the cross. That there's a supernatural exchange at the cross where he takes all our past, our present, our future. He takes us and exchanges everything that we've missed or failed in whatever area, and he begins to make a supernatural exchange. Oh, man. And here's the power. Here's where the power is. Suddenly, the axe did swim. How did that happen? Because of this man's attitude of repentance. This was what made the difference. I remember sitting in a class years ago, and in this class, they were debating holiness. And holiness ultimately wasn't an outward thing. It was an attitude of heart. But when it comes to receiving from God and getting the axe back, there has to be this understanding of mercy. I was talking to Pastor Dustin the other day, and he was telling me about mercy. And he said mercy, where we miss it so many times, is we fail in two areas. Number one, we're too bad to get mercy. How many of us ever had the devil tell you, you just ain't worth it. You've done too much. You're too far gone. You can't have any mercy. Too bad. Number two, we believe we have to work for mercy. And we can't. It was the great exchange. It is the most amazing story of Jesus. And a miracle took place. The axe head floated to the top. It did swim. That's impossible. But you see, restoration took place. Something happened. Doesn't matter if you've been saved 10 years or 50 years or longer. Something supernatural. There was a restoration that took place. It floated to the top, and an amazing miracle. Now look at this, number two, the axe head. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 6 in the text. Here he says to the young prophet, he says, "Where did it fall?" Now the question I believe today is a question for us. And that is another way of saying is, where did you get off course? Oh, I've always been on course. Mm-hmm. Where did you lose that cutting edge? Where did you lose that anointing? Where did you miss it? And there are many people waiting for God to move, and God is simply waiting for us. He asked him, "Do you realize in your life you've made some wrong decisions and some things that have happened here?" And so he says here, you've been waiting for God, but he says, "I'm telling you now, reach out and grab the axe head." Even though I wrote in my old Bible, he was impressed, and I would be, to see this axe come to the top. It did him no good until he did what the man of God said, reach out and grab it. It was a step of faith. Isn't that what God's looking for? Is someone to simply believe him? I think that many times we read the scriptures and hear the word, but we really don't believe it. There's something supernatural in just saying, "God, I believe it," and he picked it up. And that's where I believe many of us need to quit mumbling and complaining about the past. Can you say amen? Amen. You've repented. Now pick up the anointing and move forward in God and begin to do it. We're not talking about 21-day, 40-day fast. We're not talking, those things are up to you and God. But we're talking about simply believing God. That's what happened to Abraham. He said, "I'm going to bless you like the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky." You know, I walk out there now, I don't see any stars, but they're there. And you know, Abraham, he could have asked a lot of questions. You know, we've been waiting all this time for this miracle. We've been told, but we don't see anything happening. But he said it. God, I believe you. And in that moment, the Bible says this man made history. The fact that some people have gotten off course becomes ancient history the moment we obey the word of God. Instead of, you know, there's a disease. There's something that we heard about literally over 40 years ago. When young people were coming out of the world and off of drugs and alcohol and sex and all kinds of craziness. And it was called muckraking. Anybody ever heard of muckraking? Yeah, Sam, I figured he's older than I am. No, not really. Muckraking is when you stop and you begin to reach into the past and you begin to rake in and rake up all the wrongs and all the things and all the mistakes. Wish I could have, would have, somebody done somebody wrong song. Let me tell you something. Every last one of us here today has been done wrong. There's not a one of us that haven't been done wrong. Muckraking is what happens. And that's the enemy. Because he says that the moment he reached out his hand and he picked it up, he was restored. Wow. And it was borrowed. It was valuable. He could continue on. The most precious thing in our life, most precious thing is God's presence. It's the assurance of God. And there are many people today are not sure simply because they will not exercise faith. Now let me close with a thought here that I believe is from the Lord. It is now time to put your hand in the river of God. Put your hand. The river of God represents the flow of the Holy Spirit. And some people don't understand. No, that the same place that Elisha received the double portion, he had to reach out and take that mantle. He could have stood there and said, well, God's going to do it. He's going to do it. No. And in this river is the same place that Elisha got the double portion from Elijah. And so the chain of command was here. Elijah, what do you want? Elisha said, I want a double portion of the power of God that's on you, on my life. That wasn't ego. He was concerned for the nation. And then number three, here comes along Gehazi. And because Gehazi lied to Naaman and was corrupt and greedy, Naaman, you remember, got healed of leprosy. And it was an amazing miracle. And Gehazi misrepresented God, took advantage of his authority. And so when he ran after Naaman, he said, well, the master says he would take some these things that you have. And literally, he missed out and he was lost. So he moves past Gehazi to these other young disciples. Oh, what an amazing thing. The King James Study Bible says the man must have been tremendously impressed, but it could do him no good until he actually reached out and took it. And then it talks about cutting this wood and cutting these branches, which is representative of the pruning of God. So in the walk of God and what God's doing in our life, he prunes us from time to time. You don't see it in schools nowadays, but back when I was in school, in high school, we had what was called the Future Farmers of America. And they taught us a lot of things. They taught us how to make little piggies obey and do what's right. How many know what I'm talking about? Well, two or three of you do. It's called castrate them. They taught us that. And they said, give all those to Ronnie Jones. His mama wants them. She'll cook them up. I mean, we ate everything on the pig, except the oink. I mean, we ate everything. But we learned about pruning. And if I remember, it was about March or April when you had to prune those apple trees, peach trees, pear trees, and so that they would produce. God says in his word in John chapter 15 and verse number 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. How many felt like God pruned you a little bit? Huh? Sure. It's a good thing that it may bear more fruit. And then in verse number 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. That's what happened to Gehazi. He had a great opportunity. Gehazi had tremendous potential. And yet the Bible says he missed it and failed in what God had for his life. It's not seeing and then believing. It's believing and then seeing. I have here in this little leash a word that Loretta Portnova got on Friday night. And we were out the other night together with Pastor Portnova and Loretta and Marie and myself. And she gave this word to us. And the moment she gave it to me, I had a witness that this was really a right word. And she says, I believe this is a word from the Lord. With this change, God is going to increase our church greatly, Colorado Springs. And that is what God will use to cause great growth and revival in our giving and releasing of Pastor Jones and Marie and receiving of Pastor Paul and Emily. We will reap grandly. And so you see, we're still preaching. This is me in the flesh, baby. I'm still here, but I'm still doing meetings. If I'm not here, I'll be preaching somewhere. Amen. Ducks quack and I preach. Just something we do. Or in missions. That's an amazing thing. But that word came, and I'm going to tell you this morning, it is time for, put your hand in the river. Take it up and see the difference. It's not too late. Jeremiah 51:20 says, you are my battle axe. You are my battle axe and weapon of war. For with you, I will break the nation in pieces. With you, I will destroy kingdoms. We are called to destroy the powers of darkness. We have authority over demons and every adversary of hell. We are called to command spirits. We change the atmosphere in this land. We change the atmosphere in our home. Instead of getting down and trying to survive, no, we stand up and we fight. And we fight. And we fight. You ever see the movie Red Tails? Anybody ever see that one? Red Tails. And they said, what do? We fight. That's what we do. That's why we're free. That's why we're not speaking German today. And Japanese. And any other E's. That's why we're able to preach the gospel. Because we're fighting people. He said, I made you a battle axe and you will break the nation in pieces. Oh, you mean just little old me? Yes, just little old you. You have authority. And if you're not moving in the anointing, then listen, a self-examination. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Let a man examine himself to see. And so he says, if you're not moving to get the job done or the anointing, whatever it is, raising kids, you need the anointing of God. Working on a job, you need the favor and the blessing of God. Everything that we do, whether you're in school, in college, wherever, military, Josh, you need the help and power of God. And so do a self-examination. Ask God where you got off course. And he will begin to faithfully speak, and he will begin to show. And in that moment, he'll show you where you lost the anointing. That's not a hopeless situation. There's hope in it. Because in that very place, he says, now, here's the axe head, reach out and grab it. Now go do what God called you to do. Preach the gospel. My dad always said, preach the gospel, O man of God, and preach it in love. T.L. Osborne said, preach the gospel and preach it glad, because it's bringing deliverance to the captives. It's making a difference in people's lives. And so here it is. He says, just humble yourself, repent, pick up the anointing, and move in your calling. And God will begin to put it all together. Can you say amen? Amen. Don't let the enemy sidetrack you. Don't let the enemy get you into believing that you don't have it. That's not true. You do have it. You're not the stick, you're the axe head. And I can tell you, it will swim just like God said. And the scripture says, now this is a picture of the river of God, or the resurrection. We have a resurrection day that's coming for all of us. If Jesus comes before this service is over, we're out of here. If we pass through death, we're still out of here. To be present, absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. And so here it is. He says, you are not the stick cast into the river, hopeless. No. He says, you're anointed as an axe head, sharpened and ready for resurrection power. I saw these people standing up here to be prayed for. I sensed that God was moving and that people are being healed all across here. And they just, it's hard for them to believe it, but they're healed. Say, so this has gone too far. This disease, the doctor says, and it's gone too far. No, God's still healing and restoring. Can you say amen? If the enemy can get you sidetracked, he'll do it. Don't let him do it. Because it doesn't just affect ministry, it affects the home. Doesn't just affect you, it affects family. Doesn't just affect me, it affects all my friends. And so it's vital. Can you say amen? And so he says, alas, master. And he says, don't worry about it, son. It's going to be all right. He humbled himself. And when he humbled himself, he reached out and took that axe head, and he was restored. Can you say amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that, Lord, you're the God of the weak, the God of the meek, the God of the humble, the God of great grace to those that, Lord, will simply say, Lord, where did I get off course? God, where did I get off course? Was it a thought? Was it an infatuation? Was it something crazy and foolish? Was it something that I failed in or something I did? I'm coming before you now, and I'm believing you, God, to give a miracle of exchange. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my fears. I'm trading my diseases. I'm trading my failure. I'm trading my life for yours. And, Lord, I'm believing you to bring a restoration, a miracle of resurrection in my life. Let the redeemed and those that have ears to hear your word today. For God, you have spoken, and now your word is delivered. While our heads are bowed for just the next few minutes, how many today would raise your hands and say, you know what, Pastor, I'm sensing that I got off course somewhere. I got off course. I need God. I want to pray about that. I need to make a decision. Just raise your hands. Put them up. Hands are going up everywhere. God bless you. How many here today you'd say, I need to be saved, and I'm not sure if I am, but I want to know. I need to know. Pray for me. I need a word from God and know that I'm saved. Raise your hands. Just put them up and put them down. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. Pray for me. Let a man examine himself is what the scripture says. We don't care for that. Many times we want to examine somebody else. But today the Holy Ghost says, let a man examine himself. The scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And ask God, Lord, what's happening? How can I get my life right? How can I get on course? How can I get that cutting edge back in my life? This is a moment of opportunity, I tell you, really. a moment of opportunity. Let's stand, shall we, together, and as we sing this old, wonderful old chorus, He is Lord, He's risen. These altars are open. I didn't preach that long. There's time. You'd like to come. You'd like to just find a place and begin to call on God. They're real humble and truly real people here today that need God, know that we need God.
He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord.
Today's the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't put it off.